When a few weeks ago I sat down with Eric and we were looking at our preaching for the next 3 months or so, weren't we? We were discussing what we felt should happen. I said my heart was drawn towards looking at Joshua chapter 1 on this particular Sunday. Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 9. It never entered my head that 2 years ago I'd preached on exactly the same passage on the first Sunday of the new year then. If I'd known that, I probably would not have suggested it, but I'm going to trust that God had put that on my heart for a good reason, that there's something in these verses that are going to be very relevant to us this morning, or this afternoon rather, that there's something there for us. I'm going to look at the passage in a moment, and we're going to split it into two. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 and then 6 to 9, and we're going to pick out four things from the first section and four things from the second section. Oh, for the days of 3-point sermons. So we can have an 8-point sermon. We're going to look at 8 different things, but I just want to look at a little bit of background before we look at it. Just if you look at the map here, the children of Israel have been, if you know, the time of Egypt and all that, and they've been slaves, they've gone through the Red Sea. They spent 40 years on the longest funeral march in history in that desert. 40 years, because of their unbelief, they literally had to wait for a generation to die out. And we are probably burying them in that desert every day. For 40 years they were waiting for the generation, because there was only two men, Caleb and Joshua, who had the faith to enter into that land. We can look at this story both historically and look at it historically and what does it mean to us, and we can look at the passage, what's it saying to us. We can also, of course, look at it in a spiritual way. And a lot of people would say, when we look at when they left Egypt and they went through the Red Sea, that is a picture of what Jesus did for us. You only need to think of the Exodus, the Passover lamb. The lamb's blood was shed. It had to be a perfect lamb. They put the lamb's blood on the doorposts, almost as a sign of a cross. Then they went through that Red Sea. The past was left behind them. And that's a picture, if you like, of what Jesus did for us, taking us out. There are some who would have you believe that when we think about them entering through the River Jordan into the Israel, the promised land, that that's a picture of entering into heaven. Personally, I think that's bunkum. You know, you may listen to Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, standing on the edge of the Jordan, waiting for the angels to carry me home. How many of you, when young, sang a song, way far beyond Jordan, we'll meet in that land, oh, won't it be grand? Anyone ever remember that one? Some of you think, what on earth are you on about? It was trying to say, we've been saying that for years anyway, but it was trying to give the idea that over Jordan was heaven. I tell you, when they went over Jordan, they faced enemies and they were constantly in battles. That's not my idea of heaven. I believe that when they entered into the promised land, when Joshua led them through into the promised land, they were going into what we can look at spiritually as the Christian life. That we are going to have battles, we are going to face things, and if you like, what happened when the waters passed and they passed through, for them it was their own mini experience of going through the River Jordan. It was their own, if you like, sort of their own experience of the cross or the work of the cross for themselves, that they went through, left their past life behind and entered into something new. And it was their own claiming of that experience. It had been done historically in the past, but they were for themselves, because it was a new generation, going into this land. And that's the context of this passage in Joshua chapter 1. And I think it's very pertinent because it's the first Sunday of a new year and we stand at the front of a new beginning, don't we? Just like these people stood there about to go into a new land. And the message that was relevant for them as they were going to step into something new is, I think, relevant for us, which is probably why my heart is drawn to this passage at this particular time of the year. So let's just read the first 5 verses of Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. So, we have the first of our 8 points that I want to look at. The first point is this. God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. That would not have come as a shock to Joshua, because Joshua probably helped bury him. So it is clear that it was one of the points that they were aware of. But why did God say, my servant Moses is dead? Why was he stating the obvious? I would suggest for this reason, that he was saying, wake up, you've got to let go of the past, you've got to realise that Moses is dead, he was a great leader, you came to rely on him, but you've got to move on. You've got to move on to something that is new. You may have thought he was fantastic, but there is something ahead. And don't you think, as we stand at the beginning of the new year, that that is an important message to realise? The past is gone. What does Paul say in Philippians? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. We cannot sit back in the past. We cannot allow the past to up our own past to affect what we're going to do tomorrow. Forgetting what lies behind. Moses is dead. Come to terms with it. Wake up, smell whatever, and realise the past is gone. You've got to move on. And that is an important point that they had to realise. Moving on in your life is vital. You may have loved when you were 5, playing in the infant department with the sand and the water. But I'm sorry, you had to move on. If you still went there today saying, I will remember this, I want to go back and play, spend all day playing in the sand and water, they would look as if you had something very bad with you. You've got to move on. And you've got to move on in your Christian life. You've got to move on in your own life. Forget the past. Moses is dead. Move on. Point number one. They had, point number two, to learn to walk in and claim what was there. Verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Now, if you read in that passage what God had given them, it's from the Great Sea, Mediterranean, up to the great river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites. So God was saying to the Jewish people, the land I'm giving you stretches from what is today Israel, what is today Jordan, what is today Iraq. Try in the Middle East to try and bring that point up and step back. But that was what God said to them was yours, that you could have. To the Jews, you could have all of that area. The Jews, at the height, and this is under under David and Solomon, only occupied 30,000 square miles. What God said was available to them was 300,000 square miles. They only ever took possession of a tenth of what God said they could have. And Israel today is 8,000, I googled it, 8,600 square miles today. They only claimed at their maximum a tenth of what God said they could have. What a point for us. God has many things for us. Are you a Christian that in the past only claimed a tenth of what God had available for you? Because that's what the Jews did. They only ever claimed a tenth of what the potential was. You know, it tells us in Isaiah 40 that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength and shall mount like the wings of eagles. If all you see looking around you is pigeons, you're flying too low. You're flying too low. Because the potential is there to fly with wings of eagles. The potential was there as Joshua was moving across there for 300,000 square miles. They never claimed it. They never claimed it. They had to appropriate. Now, some people twist this and say, you can think of anything you want and just claim it in Jesus' name and it should be yours. Eric could say, I want that Bentley. Now, personally, I'm not so materialistic. I'd be quite happy with a Jag. But you could say, you know, I want that Bentley and I'm going to claim it in Jesus' name. And God might never give you that. It's claiming what God has already said is yours to claim, not your shopping list. Right? It's an important point to remember. But God gave them this land and said, I want you to appropriate it. It was a process. It was to be gained step by step by step. Alright? It was a process that they had to go through to claim the land. So our second point is this. You need to walk forward. Point three. I don't know whether you can put up the list as. Point three. It's in verse five. There's 2 points in verse five. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No one should be able to stand before you. Lovely verse in 1 John. 1 John 4, 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You might come across this year all sorts of funny individuals. You probably met a few already, but being here this afternoon, oh no. But you might come across all sorts of strange individuals. No one can stand against you, not because you are anything that is great, but you are on God's side. You are on God's side. And you and God are always a majority. You and God are always in the majority. And we've got to remember our position in God. So it's not that we can win, not that we are great, but with God, we've got to remember that we can win with God. Now, yes, you will sometimes fail. And I've said this before. If you fail, you are not a failure. If you quit after failing, you are a failure. But if you fail and get up and say, I'm going to go again, you're a winner. You're victorious because you're going to go and go. Joshua did face defeats, often when he took his eyes off God. They did face defeats, but they had to go on. And with God, we can win. We can win victories. We can win battles. We can achieve things. We can win with him as long as we remain in him. And the second point out of verse 5, I want to make this. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What did Jesus say when he be on the ascension? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. What a thing to remind ourselves at the beginning of the year, that every week you're going to step into, as you move forward, God says, I am with you. I'm going to go with you into this week. I'm going to go with you into the future. You're not going alone. You've got him as your company to be with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. So you've actually got God within you as you step forward. You can't get closer than that. I always remember being in a prayer meeting and this bloke, he was a great prayer. And he said, I thank you, God, that I can shout and you hear me. And he really shouted. But then he said, but I thank you that I can whisper and you can hear me. You know, and those little whisper prayers that you make during the week. And, you know, and some situation you've got to face. And that little whisper prayer, God is with you. Let's just read verses 6, 7, 8 and 9. Be strong and courageous, For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to it to the right or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When God makes a point three times, you really do have to listen. In verse 6, he said, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Remember, God only uses weak people. If you think you're a weak person and can see your inadequacies, you're great material for God to use. Nobody is too small for God to use. There are some people who are too big for God to use. But nobody is too small for God to use. Nobody. So, if you think, I'm a nobody, then God says, great, we can work. You know, if you go through the Bible, if you go through Moses, you know, I've got a mission for you. You know, just read that story. Moses didn't come across as the number one. Joshua, Jeremiah, none of them were great. Hey, I can do this. They were all, I can't do this. But God says, yes, but be strong and courageous. Be that courageous. Courage simply means putting your heart into it. Courage is that heart going into something. And it's like a muscle, isn't it? The more courageous you are, the more courageous you develop. I'm not a great one for working out, but hey, if I ever use my muscles, they would build up into something. There's hope. But that idea that if you use it, you know, develop it. And if you develop your courageous side, then God can develop that and can work in that. Point number 6 is found in verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So be careful to do that, all that it is written in it. Rooted in God's word. That's a thing for you to say at the beginning of this year. I'm going to be rooted in God's word. I'm going to allow God's word to shape my attitudes and behaviour this year. I'm going to study God's word this year. I'm going to go to the life group and the source night, and I'll listen to the podcasts, and I'll go to whatever. But I'm just going to allow God's word to take hold of me this year. What a thing for you to do to grow in your Christian life. And it says meditate. And don't get confused with the Buddhists who think you should go into a transcendental meditation. Just like the Buddhist who refused any treatment at the dentist. He says, I can transcend dental medication. Think about it, never mind. But meditate isn't opening your mind, clearing your mind out, emptying all your thoughts and just waiting for what influences you, as a Buddhist or a Hindu would say. Meditate, the actual root of the word, is to chew over. It actually is linked in Hebrew, evidently, with almost like a deep moaning. That you're meditating on it. You know, it sounds revolting, but you know how a cow eats, that it will chew it over, then it goes down, then they can bring it back up and carry on chewing over it again. It's charming, but hey, I wouldn't recommend it. But that's the root of meditate on God's word. That you can, when you read God's word, I'd rather you read one chapter of God's word a day and meditate on it than say, hey, I've ticked off 10 chapters. I can't tell you what I've read, but I've read them. Hey, aren't I spiritual? Tick. Meditate on God's word. Be rooted in God's word. Moving on very quickly. Point number 7 is in verse 9. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, fear, the most common command in the Bible is to not fear. Some say there's one verse, 365 verses that say don't fear or fear not. There's a bit of dispute about it, and it all comes down to translations. But hey, over and over again in the Bible it says, do not fear. Jesus said, fear not. Why? Because fear renders us incapable of doing things. If you're afraid of doing something, you're not going to do anything. And over again, God says, fear not. He said it here. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. And often when we're frightened and dismayed and downcast, we've got our eyes on the wrong thing. We've got our eyes on the situation and we've not got our eyes on God and God's word. If you're fearful, dismayed, downcast, just check and ask yourself this question. What am I focusing my attention on? Am I focusing my attention on God or am I focusing on the situation? And if it's the situation, try any way you can to get your eyes fixed on Him. Do not be frightened, discouraged, dismayed. And the last point is actually in verse 16, which we didn't read. And after this he said this, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us to do, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. They said, we are going to be committed to God's work. What a thing to do, to say, I'm going to be committed to God, and I'm going to be committed to His word. When David Livingstone was in Africa, a missionary society got in touch with him and said, could you tell us the good roads that we can use to get into where you are so we can send a lot of support for you? And David Livingstone's reply was this, if the people you're wanting to send need good roads to get here, then don't send them. I don't want them, I want the people who'll get to me, whether there's a road or not. They needed to be committed. You know, and there are plenty of people who attend churches who are casual Christians. And if you're a casual church attender, then can I respectfully ask, are you casual in your relationship with God? You know, there are different relationships that people have. You know, there are people in my life that are my acquaintances. People I know would say, oh, hi. There are people in my life who are more than that. There's the woman in my life who I'm married to who is somebody who is my beloved and most precious. And the picture that Jesus gives is that we are the bride of Christ. He doesn't want a casual relationship with Him. You know, me and God, we see each other from time to time. No, He wants people who are going to be committed to Him, who are going to be engaged to Him, who will one day be married to Him, who are saying, I am going to be committed to you. Not casual in my relationship with you. I'm going to be committed and dedicated to you because you are all. Let's just conclude with a thought before we pray. 2015, it will probably bring ups and it will probably bring downs. It's life. Are we going to face it with God or are we going to try and do it on ourselves, by ourselves, leaving God to one side? Are you an atheist? No, but I just want to do everything without God. It's the same thing, isn't it? Are we doing things His way? Or are we going to try and do things our way? I'm going to do something now that I've never done before. The 8 points that I've made, I want us to pray together. If you put this prayer on the screen, Dads, and I will put this prayer on the church Facebook page so that you can look at it if you're on that. And it simply says this is a prayer for 2015. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to say it together. If there's a line in there that you honestly feel you can't pray at this moment in time, then please don't pray it. I want you to be real with God. And if there's a line in there that you say, I just honestly can't pray this, leave it out. And just trust God and ask God to bring you to the place where you could pray it and mean it. It simply says this, and these are the 8 points that we've gone through in this passage today. Lord, I have to face the new. I need to walk forward, putting your feet, claiming on what that. I know I can win with you. Those battles they had to face. I can stand with you, knowing that he is with you. I can be strong and courageous in you. I must be rooted in your word. I need not be frightened, and I will be committed to you. Can we stand and say that prayer together? Lord, I have to face the new. I need to walk forward. I know I can win with you. I can stand with you. I can be strong and courageous in you. I must be rooted in your word. I need not be frightened. I will be committed to you. Amen. Amen.